pastikan mergo mung kowe sing tak tresnani tekane
This is Voice of Indonesia with Newsline. The Indonesian government will submit its list of Indonesian ambassador candidates to Commission 1 of the House of Representatives on Wednesday, according to the House Deputy Speaker Sufmi Dasko Ahmad. Speaking to the media after seeing of President Prabowo Subianto, who left for an overseas visit from Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base on Tuesday, Dasko informed the government will propose only one ambassador candidate for the Indonesian Embassy in Washington, D.C. Indonesian government has called on the National Nutrition Agency to improve nutrition for pregnant women in an effort to reduce stunting, noting two key interventions still fall short of targets. During a meeting with the House of Representatives on Tuesday, Indonesian Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin said the two main measures are ensuring pregnant women take iron supplements and providing additional nutrition to those with chronic energy deficiency. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Your heart, girl, your face is so different from the mothers. I'll say you're the only one that I'll adore. Cause every time you're by my side, my blood rushes through my veins, and my geeky face blush so silly, yeah, oh yeah. And I want to make you mine. Oh baby, I'll take you to the sky. Forever you and I.
You and I.
You and I. And we'll be together till we die. Our love will last forever and forever. You'll be mine. You'll be mine. Oh, ooh. Oh, ooh. Girl, your smile and your charm lingers always on my mind. I'll say you're the only one that I've waited for.
Take you to the sky. Forever you and I.
You and I.
You and I. And we'll be together till we die. Our love. it to the sky. Forever you and I.
You and I.
You and I. And we'll be together till we die. Our love will last forever and forever. You'll be mine. You'll be mine.
Oh baby, I'll take it to the sky. Forever you and I. You and I.
You and I.
And we'll be together till we die. Our love will last forever and forever. You'll be mine. You'll be mine.
Oh, oh, oh.
You'll be mine.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a song from Kim. Kim is an Indonesian music group formed by Archie Widianto, who was guided by his father, the prominent musician Yofi Widianto. The group consists of three talented singers, Archie Widianto, Rahel Rai, and Gusti Pratama. At the end of September 2024, they presented their latest single entitled Magnet. This song also marks Kim's first collaboration with one of Indonesia's best singers, Marion Jola. The song written by Archie Widianto and Yofi Widianto carries a cheerful pop feel with a groovy rhythm. Interestingly, for the first time, Kim presents a rap verse in this single, which adds new color without seeming excessive. The song Magnet describes a romantic relationship that should be kept secret, where both individuals are already committed to someone else but cannot hold back their feelings for each other. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Kim and Marion Jola with Magnet. Happy listening.
Awalnya aku tak memikirkan, namun bayangmu tak juga hilang. Senyuman hangat itu mencuri relung hatiku. Meski ku sadar ini takkan bisa, hanya aku dan kau.
Terjadi di hati.
Hanya aku dan kamu. Kau bisa tahu.
could break the limit, but I ain't hoping no more.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, today's VOI talk from Voice of Indonesia informs you about Indonesia, which is preparing to send new representatives to the world. The government is expected to submit a list of ambassador candidates to the House of Representatives on Wednesday this week, including the nominee for the United States, one of Indonesia's most strategic diplomatic partners. The real question is, who fits the role? What makes someone truly capable of speaking for a nation on the global stage? So let's explore the ideal qualities of an ambassador, the challenges and more, with Bapak Teuku Reza Syah, PhD, an international relations expert from Pajajaran and President University. Good morning, Pak Teuku. Thank you so much for joining us on VOI Talk. Okay, sorry, we couldn't hear your voice clearly. Can you say once again how's you're doing today? And we really thank you for joining us.
Good morning to you. My name is Teuku Reza Syah. I'm teaching international relations at Pajajaran State University and also President University. This is a private university. Both are located in West Java Province.
Okay, then we can clearly hear you. And as an international expert from Pajajaran University and President University, by looking at the basic qualifications, in your view, what defines someone as ready to represent Indonesia as an ambassador?
Well, this is the great question at this very moment, yeah, because today the Commission 1 of the Indonesian Parliament is consulting someone who will become the next ambassador. Of course, the president has nominated him, but anyway, him or her, but anyway, that person has to consult the Indonesian Parliament. What are the qualifications? I'm sure whoever becoming the Indonesian ambassador, he or she should have certain qualifications. Number one is nationalistic. Yeah. In this case, that person understands fully the Indonesian ideology, Pancasila, and also understand completely Indonesian constitution. And also the person has a capacity to translate the idea of Asta Cita or eight ideas of the Indonesian development into practices. And then of course that person should have an advanced understanding on international law, on diplomacy, on the ongoing bilateral relations, and also globalization. In short, that person should have qualities in terms of intellectual quotient, emotional quotient, spiritual quotient, leadership quotient, and managerial quotient. It is very difficult to find one. So that's why in some posts, we cannot easily put someone there.
So how do traits like diplomacy, empathy, negotiation, ability play a role in the ambassador's daily work?
Yes, if we refer to the Vienna Convention on Diplomatic Relations, 1961, and Vienna Convention on Consular Relations, 1963, we will find that the job of ambassador is so huge and full of responsibility. For example, reporting and then representing. From there, negotiating. And after that, protecting and promoting. With regards to trade, trade is very important. So that's why when it comes to negotiation, Indonesian ambassadors should have advanced quality in all rules and regulations at the global level, and also rules and regulations at the Indonesian level, and then also rules and regulations at the bilateral level. In this case, ambassadors will have to deal not only with the official partners, but will also have to deal with business partners and also work hard to open markets for Indonesian economy. Of course, based on mutual benefits and also based on the principles such as sovereignty and territorial integrity.
An ambassador, of course, will interact with the locals. So another crucial factor is cultural sensitivity. Don't you think so? Why is it vital for ambassadors?
Correct.
Why is it vital then for ambassadors to deeply understand the host country's culture and political climate?
It is very important because we in Indonesia we have a principles of fish living with water. Well, in this case, ambassadors should have a complete understanding on the life of the host country. In this case, a full understanding on the political system, how it works, understanding on how the ideology is working, and also understanding on how the people are living there. In this case, the capacity to use the local language is very important, apart from mastering international languages. For example, this is very crucial for country like Russia, for country like South Korea, North Korea, Germany, Japan, and anyway, all parts of the world, once they have their own national language, Indonesian ambassador must have a good understanding. If necessary, Indonesian ambassador should speak at the advanced level so that they can communicate using formal language and also informal language. That's why it is very, very difficult, and especially the president, he has a very high standard in nominating someone.
Yes, because of course every country has a different cultural approach, right? So another ability that must be out. And when it comes to political climate, global geopolitical situation, this is also what is emphasized by the Indonesian House of Representatives Speaker Puan Maharani. That's her expectation. What do you think about this expectation?
Well, expectation from the Indonesian Parliament, it is very, very serious. Yeah. Because in today's diplomacy, we are having also parliamentary diplomacy and then the normal diplomacy or the traditional diplomacy. Governments may come and go, but the parliament stay. So in this case, we expect to have a tandem relations when it comes to diplomacy. In this case, Indonesian ambassadors are expected also to support the national parliament to better deal with the parliament of the hosted country. In this case, parliaments they need to travel, they need to consult to each other because a long-term commitment needs to be supported by the parliament of the two countries.
And political connections often come into play. How do we balance merit, professionalism, and political considerations in the appointments of ambassadors?
You are right there. When we see ambassadors, we can differentiate, we can categorize them into two things. Yeah. First, career diplomat and then non-career diplomat. Yeah. For the career diplomat, they have been there for more than 25 years and they have climbed the ladder from the lowest one to the highest one, beginning with attaché, and then third secretary, second secretary, first secretary, and then counselor, minister, counselor, minister, then come ambassador. So when it comes to career diplomat, they have had enough trainings from the basic level, the midterm level, and advanced level. But we also recognize that there is a prerogative of the president to nominate someone from the non-diplomatic pool of people. They may come from the professionals such as academic stream, and then military stream, political stream, maybe also political stream, and also parliamentary stream. But in this case, usually the president has a good knowledge that this person should have a managerial quotient, leadership quotient, and good intellectual quotient, and also a good nationalism. Because even though they are coming from outside the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, but they have had special trainings for this. And for people who are coming from the military background, a police background, or educational background, throughout their career path, they have had enough education and training. But anyway, when we talk about when someone is trusted to become ambassador, this person have to put Indonesia first, not sectoral ego. Not sectoral ego any longer. So we need to think of Indonesia Incorporated. So in this case, once ambassador is appointed, that person should put Indonesia first, and then his educational background, his political background second, because he is loyal to the nation. In this case, he's loyal to the president of Indonesia, who trusted him or her to represent Indonesia overseas.
So no matter how diverse the backgrounds of the ambassador candidates, from diplomats, military, business, and so on, so he or she must put forward Indonesia first.
Excuse me, I cannot clearly hear your voice. We have about 200 kilometers distance at the moment.
Okay. Now, can you hear me clearly? Pak Teguh?
Yes.
Okay.
Please excuse me, I cannot clearly hear your voice.
Okay, what about now? Because we can clearly hear your voice right now. Yes, Pak Teguh?
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me for the bad connection, yeah?
Okay, so we're talking about the ambassador's diversity background. Now you can hear me.
Yes. Yes, I can hear you now. Thank you.
Okay. So we're talking about the diversity of the background of the ambassador's candidate. So no matter how diverse the background is, he or she must put forward Indonesia. That's the bottom line, right? Okay. Now, what about talking about the challenges? Yes. The challenges, especially for those sent to global powers like the United States. What are the pressures and expectations for such a high-level posting? Yes, Pak Teguh?
Yes, I think when it comes to When it comes to diplomatic post, Indonesia, we recognize that some countries are to be considered we need to give a very special attention for this. Yeah. United States is among the one. Yeah. We call United States, and then EU countries, ASEAN countries as D1, I mean diplomatic one. Yeah. When dealing with United States, I think we need to find to really find the most appropriate ambassador for the country. And also the good understanding on the American political system, and then the dynamics in the American bureaucracy at this very moment, and then also the decision-making process in the United States, which involves many institutions, not only state and non-state institutions, but also private institutions. And also we need to understand the dynamics of the state's level. U.S. has 50 states. We need to understand also the dynamics there. So that's why Indonesian ambassador to the United States must fully understand not only Indonesia, but also the bilateral relations, and also the strategic role of the U.S. in the world. So in this case, the deep understanding on the philosophy is there, a deep understanding on the strategic role of the U.S. in the world is there. Because oftenly ambassadors need to make a quick decision, so not to cause hassle to the president. That's why an ambassador to the U.S. must specially receive the Indonesian president approval in advance, and also special trust from the Indonesian president.
Knowledge and decision making skill really difficult indeed. And from the U.S., we talk about the global tensions, the current global tensions, climate issues, digital diplomacy. What kind of ambassadorial mindset do we need moving forward, Pak Teguh?
Well, in this case, ambassadors, once the person is stationed, he will deal with the states and also with the media. That's why a good understanding on modern diplomacy is very important, and a good understanding on globalization is very important. So that's why an Indonesian ambassador needs to be smart. In this case, I'm not talking about degree, but degree is preferred, because degree will help an ambassador to deal with the local campuses, local research center, and of course, someone with advanced knowledge will easily link himself or herself with the local academic environment, research centers. So that's why, in order to be highly professional, ambassadors will have to travel a lot in the country to provide keynote speeches and then to attend conferences. And then through these conferences, the ambassador will have the opportunity to explain Indonesian position on what is going on. For example, today we are witnessing a lot of critical situation. For example, the Israeli war against Iran, and then the life in Gaza, and then also the ongoing war but involving Russia and Ukraine, and then also the U.S. New kind of tariff. I think ambassador needs to understand the situation and also needs to put Indonesian position in such a soft way. So that's why ambassador should also understand when it comes to making comments, Indonesian free and active foreign policy must be explained. That we are part of the world, but we are not taking side, but we are looking hard to support the UN Charter. So these are, among others, the philosophy before an ambassador speak in public.
So how can a strong ambassador elevate Indonesia's presence and soft power abroad from a public diplomacy perspective?
Yeah, you are right. Public diplomacy is very urgent at this very moment, because when it comes to diplomacy, we need to attract also the role of Indonesians living inside, because they have a voice. They have a voice in the modern diplomacy. So that's why public diplomacy interaction is very important, involving Indonesian over here and then the Americans over there.
And if only you could design the ideal ambassador for Indonesia today, can you name three core values or competencies would be non-negotiable? Well, listeners, seems like we have a technical problem that is faced in today's VOI talk. Talking about Ambassador Wanted, who fits with our today's speaker, Teku Reza Shah, PhD, an international relation expert from Pajajaran University and President University. So today, the Indonesian government is set to submit a list of ambassador candidates to the Indonesian House of Representatives on Wednesday this week, including the nominee for the United States, one of Indonesia's most strategic diplomatic partners. Where actually we are still trying to reconnect with Teku Reza Shah for a more or a quicker thoughtful discussion. Okay, now let's try to reconnect with Teku Reza Shah for a final statement here. Hello, Teku.
Yes, I'm back again.
Okay.
Hello again. I'm back now.
Yes, Teku, I would like to find out from your view about if you could design the ideal ambassador for Indonesia today, what three core values or competencies that you can mention that would be non-negotiable?
Well, the non-negotiable items, among other, nationalism, and then good understanding on the importance of international law, and then adherence to the ongoing treaties at the bilateral level, and also the two countries and the bilateral countries' role at the global level through various kind of international treaties. This is very important. This is the basic line.
Okay, then final statement, please, from you. Your hope or any other messages you would like to convey on the submission of ambassador candidates on Wednesday?
I think the candidates are having a bit headache, yeah? How to deal with the Indonesian parliament, and I pray that they could pass this final examination and finally they can represent Indonesia in the destined country. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Pak Teguh Reza Syah, PhD, for such a thoughtful, insightful discussion. Ambassadors must not only represent Indonesia, they must connect, engage, and inspire trust. Their voice is our voice abroad. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Well, listener, that's today's VOI Talk. Ambassador Wanted, who fits with Pak Teguh Reza Syah, PhD, an international relation expert from Pajajaran University and President's University. Stay tuned for more insightful, inspiring talks on VOI Talks from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ada niat untuk selamat. Lakibat aku kan meninggalkan tinggalkan kamu untuk sementara. Kau dekat aku, kau bilang jangan pergi, tapi ku hanya dapat berkata aku hanya pergi untuk sementara, bukan untuk meninggalkanmu selamanya. Aku pastikan kembali pada dirimu, tapi kau jangan datang. Aku pasti kembali.
Which economic sectors will grow in Indonesia this year? Here is the opinion of Gunawan Benjamin, an economist.
The economic sector that I think that will be helped, or maybe the development in that still growth in 2025 is agriculture, because this is the defense economic sector, and then food and beverage accommodation. This is because we know that the government have a program for Makan Bergizi Gratis, yeah, or MBG. I think this is one of the policy that will push the domestic consumption. And the rest, of course, commodity sectors such as palm oil, coal, or nickel. That's it.
The complete dialogue with Gunawan Benjamin is available in VOI Talk, Uncovering Indonesia's Investment Potential, on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dancing won't help my economic condition. If I dance, when am I going to make money?
That words came from Kadek Sriyani, a woman aged 38, a villager of Manistutu, Bali, who since 15 years ago has been working as a stone breaker on the river of Tukadayo, Manistutu, Bali.
I've been working since I was married, around 15 years ago. I already started working here, breaking the stone, working in the fields, lifting the rock, digging the sand.
Most Balinese women would have started dancing since they are in the elementary school. But with the passage of their lives, dancing is just special occasions only. As in the case of Stonebreaker from Manistutu village, Kadek Sriyani. Her dainty fingers are now used in a graceful movement in a dance alone, but more often are used to do work that should be done by men, breaking stones, without any fear that their tapering fingers might be injured by the weight of the hammer used to break up large stones. How many hammers actually that Kadek has?
3 hammers actually, but this one is borrowed. I have only 2. However, I can borrow from my sister. Working together, you know, if the stone is too big and cannot be broken, I could ask my sister to help. Friends too.
While working together, each has her share of rock.
Each has her own share, so later if there is a truck coming in, it can be easily seen which one belongs to me and which plot belongs to my friends. So it's easy to divide the money.
At a glance, breaking the stone looks quite easy. This is not true, of course, but there are some tricks to make the job easier.
It depends. There are some lines on the stone surface. If they are smooth, do not hit them because they might shatter and you'd get hurt. The term is monk trick, so you must look carefully whether it can be broken down or not.
Being a stone breaker, Kadek never feels afraid of hurting her hands. Even when she is wounded, Kadek already has a way to overcome it.
Yes, we'll treat it using a banana tree shoot, chewed and pasted. Then put it on the wound so that blood doesn't come out.
Every day, Kadek Sriyani does the work of breaking down the stone after the domestic work is completed. She goes to Tukadayu River in Manistutu village, about 4 hours drive from Denpasar, to break stones along with other women. There are no fixed working hours, although her income a day at most is only 25,000 rupiah to 30,000 rupiah, Kadek Sriyani accepts it gratefully. For Kadek, the results obtained are a gift from the Almighty. Her income is not fixed, depending on the weather. Because if it rains, the small truck cannot get into the river to buy the broken stone. Then, the stone that has been broke down into small pieces and the sand that has been filtered will be washed away again by the water. But bright weather also sometimes does not guarantee the money that they get can be a lot. Because even though they have broken rocks under the umbrella made of palm leaves for one whole day, no truck would come to buy the stones because there is no development project. Things like this often happen.
Depending on the fate, if things are smooth, then everything will. But if there is no project, then business will be bad.
Almost all Balinese women can dance, for dancing is part of the rituals for worshipping among the Hindu Balinese. Most of them learn to dance in their primary school. But with the passage of their lives, the women, especially the stone breakers, only dance on special occasions, such as rituals in temples. The stone breaker women of Manistutu village, however, do not want to dance for money either, as expressed by Kadek Sriyani.
It will be so embarrassing. I'm fat now. Dancing doesn't help the economy. If I dance, when can I make some money?
Although the lives of stonebreaker women and their families are hard, they still diligently do the job as stonebreakers. Sometimes, they also hope for some other job which in accordance with their capabilities. to be able to slightly improve their lives.
What important is to have a job, so I can send my children to school and they can have decent meals every day.
Manistutu village chief Ika Tutsukadana has his own views about the profession of his female villagers. I understand, digging the sand is not really their choice, really. This is a necessity. If they could have another job, they would take it then. But they do not have the expertise and skill to do that. Digging sand or rocks in the river like that is actually not a life choice, because they do not have other skills to compete in other areas. That was the story of the brave woman from Manistutu, Bali, who are now using their dainty fingers to break up stones to provide for their families. The story of Kadek Sriyani shows that Balinese women are women who have incredible energy.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song from West Java entitled Nenggelis. The song Nenggelis was popularized by Alfian. The word Nenggelis literally means beautiful girl. The Sundanese song tells of a man who is falling in love with a beautiful girl. The girl comes from Bandung, West Java, and she has a yellow cheek and pointed nose. The man hopes he can introduce her and even engages with the girl next month. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from West Java entitled Nenggelis by Alfian. Enjoy!
Upami te ayah pamengan langkung sae kurang kenalan Nenggelis puja alengka Nenggelis engkang hoyong tepan Upami te ayah pamengan Si payun kurang tunangan Itu saha anu acuk bodan Itu saha anu acuk daya Pipi koneng dirung mancung panon hidang putri Bandung Nenggelis pujaan Hoyong tepang Upami te ayah pamengang Nasi payun kurang tuh